Good afternoon. This is Ed Walsh with the Piatt County Journal Republican for Wednesday, January 15th, 2020. We will begin today's reading on the front page with this article. It's under the banner of Police, Courts, and Fire. And the headline reads, Fatal Accident on Route 105. A BMET woman was killed and a BMET man was hospitalized with serious injuries after a three-vehicle accident Saturday afternoon south of Monticello. According to an Illinois State Police report, at 2:01 p.m., Conrad Gillespie, 22 of BMET, was driving north on Illinois 105 at Piatt County Road 1350 North, about 2 miles south of Monticello, when he moved his 2008 Honda Accord into the southbound lane to pass a 2016 Ford Fiesta driven by Arthur Anderson, 51 of BMET. Gillespie's car instead collided with a southbound 2012 Nissan Sentra driven by a 56-year-old BMET woman. The force of the collision pushed it back into the northbound lane where it hit Anderson's car. The driver of the Sentra was pronounced dead at the scene by the Piatt County coroner, who later identified her as Tonya Chiron of BMET. Gillespie was taken to an area hospital with serious injuries. Anderson was treated for minor injuries and released. All three drivers were wearing their seat belts. Gillespie was cited for improper passing, improper lane usage, and possession of recreational cannabis in his vehicle. Illinois 105 was closed between Kratz Road and County Road 1300 North until about 9 p.m. Saturday, as accident reconstructionists completed their work and the scene was cleared. The investigation is ongoing. Next on the front page, under the banner of Piatt County, we have this article headlined, Insurance Switch Authorized by County, Nursing Home Only for Now. Piatt County edged closer on January 7th to switching some of its employees to a new health insurance plan, which a new carrier said would save about $150,000 in county premiums in the first year. Members of the Piatt County Board Health Insurance Committee voted 4-1 to authorize the Nursing Home Committee to change that facility's workers from the current self-insured plan via HealthLink to a fully insured Health Alliance offering. If implemented, which would probably not be until at least February, it would affect half of the county's employees, as 45 of the current 90 enrolled in the county plan work at the nursing home. Non-nursing home staff would remain on the current health insurance plan, probably until at least September 1st, when the contract is up for renewal. The nursing home has been working with Insure Champaign in an attempt to cut insurance costs and increase the number of in-network providers. The company said it could accomplish that feat with a switch from the self-funded PPO with no co-pays to a POS option that would include some upfront costs for service, such as $25 for in-network office visits. Officials at Insure Champaign said the goal was to get the county's monthly costs reduced from a current $1,000 monthly per employee. The Health Alliance quote is $710 monthly. We have to think about the employees, said Larry Cruz of Insure Champaign, noting that the current plan has less than one-sixth the amount of in-network providers within 30 miles. I feel sorry for the employees, he said. But Dan Reynolds of Danzig Insurance Risk Advisors, the broker that has worked with the county for 6 years to provide insurance, said the current plan has limited rate increases and been less disruptive for employees. He noted that even if Danzig contracts with different carriers to take advantage of better prices and/or benefits, staff don't see the changes. Everyone's had the same ID cards for 6 years, said Reynolds. He also noted that the annual premium paid by the county had actually dropped slightly from $1.1 million to $1.05 million from the time Danzig was hired in 2014 to last year. Self-funded plans give you protection on price increases, he added. But others felt changes are more common in this day, and age due to the rising cost of health insurance in recent years. Piatt County Transportation Director Jamie Tribom said she has worked in human resources in the past and that it is common practice. You shop for prices for insurance every year, she said. Committee members considered switching all county employees to Health Alliance at the same time, but feared run-out costs, which are insurance costs incurred under one plan but not claimed until a new one is in effect. With a shift away from self-insurance, runouts would be on the county to pay. If there was a catastrophic claim, you guys would be on the hook for it with this plan. That is the risk, but that is also the risk whether you move the plan today, next month, the following month, or on September 1st, said Nick Hiltbrand of Insurer Champaign. The current health insurance plan is not up for renewal until September 1st, but the county can opt out with 31 days notice. That risk would be tempered temporarily by keeping a portion of the county with Danzig, since self-insurance is still in place, but run-out will still be an issue if the county shifts totally away from being self-insured at a later date. The committee eventually voted to authorize the Nursing Home Committee to make a decision regarding its insurance, with Robert Morrell being the only no vote. There was some concern shown whether it would only be a short-term savings for the county. My personal opinion is sometimes we make changes and it's a short-term fix and may not be a long-term fix, said committee member Ray Spencer. Cruz countered that he had never seen $1,000 per month premiums being paid by any other entities, so felt the Health Alliance option would be a steady one, especially in central Illinois. He also said the savings for the county could increase if more employees take advantage of a higher deductible option that would be offered. Committee member Dale Latz liked the idea of switching only nursing home employees to Health Alliance for now, in order to at least temporarily avoid potential run-out payout payments. It hedges our bets, he said. Morrell, who voted against the motion, felt more bids should be obtained on such a high-ticket item. I think this is a knee-jerk reaction. I think we should have been doing it a long time ago, said Morrell. I would like to see us wait and get three competitive bids and not put the county at risk if there is extreme liability during the stopgap runout. He also felt the state's attorney's office should weigh in on the issue before action was taken. During the public comment portion of the meeting, Tom Corbin shared that he pays $200 per day for his wife to stay at the nursing home and urged the board to be expedient on an insurance change if it means cost savings. If they can save money, do it as quickly as possible, he stated. You are where you are now. We can't worry about why was this done. Well, this wasn't done in the past. We are where we are. Move forward, and move forward expeditiously to save that money. I don't want to look at $210 a day next year. Next up, and still on the front page, we have this article. It's under the banner of Piatt County. And the headline reads, Budget Firm Could Be Hired. After a sometimes contentious budget process last fall, Piatt County board members seem amenable to getting outside help started in 2020. The board's finance committee, made up of all six county board members, voted 5-0 on January 8th to recommend hiring Bellwether LLC to help with the 2020-21 budget. Cost of the contract would be $12,000. Bellwether principal Bruce DeLashmet said the county board would still be in charge of budget approval, but that Bellwether would start gathering information in March for it to use for its financial planning. The hardest part of doing a budget is knowing that you have all of the information necessary to make the decisions you have to make, he said. We'll flush out all the homework for you. We'll chase down all the details. We'll have all of the conversations. DeLashmet said the firm would start by gathering financial data from 2018 to 19 as a reference point, as well as monitor the current fiscal year as conversations start on the next budget year that begins on December 1st. He estimated budget talks to begin in June would include discussions and input from department heads and lead to a completed draft budget in September. He said the 3 years of fiscal history that is compiled makes the budget a living, breathing document, which is not always the case, especially in smaller counties. It's more than something that just lands in a drawer. I know we have plenty of counties that kill themselves in October and November to finish a budget that goes into a drawer, and then they just manage claims. The budget never resurfaces, said DeLashmet. Bellwether has worked with the county in the past, mostly for fee studies in the sheriff and county clerk departments. The Louisville, Kentucky-based firm, which has a regional office in Chicago, also has contracts with several comparable entities, including Fayette, Monroe, Hamilton, Vermilion, and Mercer counties. Agreements are for 1 year only, but DeLashmet said they have never had a county stop using them after a single contract. Piatt County Sheriff David Hunt asked if Bellwether could help with a possible public safety sales tax, which would need to be approved by voters. DeLashmet said election law does not allow them to help promote it, but they could gather nonpartisan data that could be used in a campaign. Committee members felt the budget service could help the county and voted 5-0 to recommend a letter of agreement to the full county board, which will consider it on February 12th. I personally think this is good, said County Board Chairman Ray Spencer. I think it would be very beneficial to the county. I would be in favor of it. Fellow committee member Randy Schumard agreed. I am definitely in favor of it, he said. I'm very interested in it. With a tight 2019 and 20 budget that does not include dollars for such a contract, committee member Dale Latz thought the money could come from a contingency fund that has $30,000 set aside. Others felt the process could save at least that amount without drawing on other sources. Either way, Bob Morrell was on board. I'm in favor of finding the money somewhere because we need somebody experienced to guide us, he said. If approved by the board, half of the contract would be paid when Bellwether begins work in March, with the other half due later in the year, probably in October. Now, finally on the front page, we have this article. It's under the banner of Bryant Cottage. The headline is simply Storytime. Bryant Cottage State Historical Site in Bement will host a third Saturday Storytime at 10:30 a.m. Saturday, January 18th, with this month's theme being the Emancipation Proclamation, which was issued by President Abraham Lincoln on January 1st, 1863. To celebrate this historic document, youth will hear the story of Ben and the Emancipation Proclamation by Pat Sherman, which tells the story of young slave Benjamin C. Holmes and the impact that historic document played on his life. Other activities are also planned. The free program is open to those between the ages of 5 and 10 who must be accompanied by an adult. Space is limited. Those interested can RSVP on the cottage's Facebook page or by calling 217-678-8184. Future third Saturday story times will include the February 15th Abraham Lincoln story and March 21st Women Historical Figures. And now, turning to page A3, under the banner of Police, Courts, and Fire, we have this article headlined, Man Sentenced to 7 Years in Pornography Plea. A St. Joseph man who admitted he was looking for child pornography on the Internet has been sentenced to 7 years and a month in prison. William Bell, 40, told the U.S. District Court Judge Michael Mim on January 6th that he was a good person who made a poor choice. The former information technology employee for the Monticello schools pleaded guilty in April to possession and transport of child pornography, all from his home. The investigation began in July 2018 after Microsoft notified federal authorities about a pornographic image of a child uploaded to one of its search engines that traced to Bell's computer address. It happened again the following month. Further investigation revealed that Bell did not search for or look at child pornography while he was on the job. He had been employed 15 years as an information technology specialist. Bell was arrested following his indictment in February 2019. He had resigned his job days before. A search of computers in his home turned up hundreds of images of children in compromising sexual poses and deleted files. A tearful Bell apologized to the judge, his family, and the public. "This situation has devastated my life," said the divorced father of three, whose ex-wife and parents were present for his sentencing. Assistant U.S. Attorney L.A. Pearson agreed to recommend a lesser sentence for Bell, given his cooperation with authorities following his arrest, even though that did not lead to the prosecution of anyone else. Pearson recommended 9 years and 1 month behind bars, while Bell's attorney, Tom Bruno of Urbana, asked for the minimum of 5 years. Reviewing some of the facts of Bell's case, Mim observed that Bell's conduct was not an impulsive act. It went on over a period of time and involved a number of separate and distinct choices where you made the wrong choice, the judge said. Mim called Bell a model citizen, but for his foray into child pornography, and reminded him that the harm that's done by this stuff is really, really severe. After his release from prison, Bell will be on supervised release for 10 years and will have to register as a sex offender. He may have no contact with children under 18 except his own. He was also ordered to pay $6,300 in assessments. Also on page A3, we have this article under the banner of Deland Weldon Schools. And the headline reads, "Construction Kinks Still Being Worked Out at Deland Weldon." The Deland Weldon School Board heard an update on construction from Superintendent Amanda Geary in its final regular meeting of 2019 on December 18th. While there hasn't been much movement regarding the needed fix to the gymnasium floor, Geary said she was waiting to hear back from NG Services US at the time, but it won't be done until this summer. The board was alerted to a new issue, the school intercom system. "They had to come out a couple of times, but they keep billing us," I said. "This should still be under you guys. We should not be getting this bill," Geary explained. "So my intercom system worked just fine before the construction project. Then you guys did this, and now it's not working correctly. And I'm still having to call them out here, but you expect me to pay the bill." Geary said each bill is around $500. "I won't give in," she said. Geary also mentioned the possibility of DW receiving a construction grant up to $50,000 that the district would have to match to apply to any new construction. "Just letting you know, I'm thinking of bathrooms right now," Geary said. "Our grade school's bathrooms are worse than our high school's. Our elementary bathrooms are horrid. Whether we get a grant or not, we have to look at how we move forward in the next X number of years," board member Josh Schaffner said. And under the heading of DWEA negotiations, the school board approved a resolution authorizing Superintendent Geary to begin negotiations with the Deland Weldon Education Association. "It would just be me talking with the DWEA just to get things going," Geary said. "Obviously, nothing would be voted on. We would just get the talking going." Also on A3, we have this article under the banner of Dove, and the headline reads, "Piatt County Dove Moves to New Office in Monticello." Dove has announced a new office location for the Piatt County Domestic Violence Program. It is now located at 100 West Washington Street, Suite 102 in Monticello. The program moved on Monday, January 6, 2020, and is ready to welcome those seeking services with the Domestic Violence Program. Liz Mackey, Piatt County Coordinator, began employment with Dove in the summer of 2018 and is looking forward to continue meeting the needs of those seeking services in Piatt County. Dove has been the service provider for Piatt County since the mid-1980s. Services include a 24-hour hotline, individual and group counseling for adults and children, and legal advocacy. Those seeking information about support groups and advocacy can call Mackey at 217-762-2123 or the 24-hour hotline at 217-762-2122. Walk-in services are also available. Office hours are 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Monday through Friday. Next up for today, we have this public service announcement. It is entitled, Notice to Elderly and Persons with Disabilities for the March 17, 2020 General Primary Election. Citizens who are not registered to vote and cannot leave their home or nursing facility because of a permanent physical disability can arrange for voter registration by contacting the county clerk's office. Upon request, a list of deputy registrars will be given to anyone unable to come into the county clerk's office. Anyone can register at the county clerk's office, 101 West Washington, room 110 in Monticello, Illinois, from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., Monday through Friday. Please bring two forms of ID, one containing your current address. The last day to register to vote or make a change in address before the upcoming election is Tuesday, February 18, 2020. Grace period registration is an extension of regular registration in which a person may register to vote or transfer their registration due to a name change or an address change. This method of registration is available only in the county clerk's office during regular office hours and requires the individual to vote at the same time. Dates for grace period registration/voting are February 19, 2020 through March 17, 2020. All polling places in Piatt County are accessible to persons with disabilities and the elderly. If for some reason you are unable to go to the polls, you may vote by mail. This may be done in the office of the county clerk or by contacting the office for instructions to vote by mail. For any information concerning voting by mail, voter registration, or voting for the elderly or disabled, please call the office of Jennifer Harper, Piatt County Clerk, at 217-762-9487. And now, turning to page A7, under obituaries, we have just one death notice of local and area interest. Juanita E. Jennings, 85, of Bement, passed away at 10:20 p.m. January 5, 2020 at the Piatt County Nursing Home in Monticello. A visitation was held from 4 to 7 p.m. Sunday, January 12, 2020 at the First Presbyterian Church of Bement. Funeral services were held at 11 a.m. on Monday, January 13, 2020, at the First Presbyterian Church of Bement, with Reverend Marcia Frederick officiating. Interment was in Bement Township Cemetery. Mackey Wright Funeral Home of Monticello is handling the arrangements. And now, returning to the news, we have this article on page A7. It's under the banner of Piatt County. The headline reads, Cooling Fix, Borrowing, Approved for County Jail. At a special Piatt County Board Building and Grounds Committee meeting on January 7th, members voted 3-0 to recommend the county issue debt certificates to fund an $85,000 fix for the public safety building, heating, and cooling system. The Piatt County Board followed suit the next day, giving final approval to the project, along with the funding that will pay for it. The $210,000 remaining in debt certificates taken out to pay for courthouse projects in 2017 will be refinanced and increased to $295,000 and extended to pay for the project. The yearly payment of about $30,000 will not change, but the final payment will be extended 6 years until November of 2032. There will be no payment in the current year, even though the project should be completed this spring. The new debt certificate issue would do two things. It would provide cash to finance the improvements to the public building safety, and push this payment back and reamortize it at a debt service that would then remain the same, said Mike Atwood of First State Bank of Monticello. The interest rate will be an estimated 2.98% annually, slightly lower than the current 3.12% with the existing certificates. Maintenance officials say the current HVAC was not installed according to specifications in 2003, prompting several costly fixes over the past 16 years. This fix is aimed at remedying that situation in addition to providing a more efficient system. County Board Member Bob Morrell was in favor of the project, even though it was not included in the recently approved county budget. He felt the outlay would be recovered within a few years through fewer repairs and increased energy savings. I'm all in favor of jumping quickly because it's going to save the taxpayers money, and we need to fix it now. I mean yesterday we need to fix it, said Morrell. County Maintenance Supervisor Doug Winder pegged it at least $90,000 in replacement costs to wear and tear caused by the current HVAC setup at the jail portion of the safety building since 2013, saying the compressors are too large and work too hard even when only slight cooling is needed. The one-circuit system will also be replaced with a two-circuit one that will provide better backup and energy efficiency, since it would not have to run all out all the time. The work, replacing a pair of 40-ton condensers with a single 40-ton one that has four compressors, will be done by Reliable Mechanical Company of Champaign. The project will include a 5-year warranty on parts and labor, something no other contractor offered and unheard of in a retrofit, said Winder. Reliable will also recover R22 coolant from the current system to be used in other county systems, since the new jail one will use newer R410A coolant trademarked Puron. That will net a savings to the county of about $1,000. The contractor will also give the county dollars netted by scrapping the old system. I've heard nothing but this problem since I've been on the board, said County Board Chairman Ray Spencer, who came on the board in 2014. The previous board was trying to go back on the contractor, and it's just been an ongoing process. The project will start in the early spring and should be done by the time cooling season commences. And now, turning to the sports page, we have this article that's under the banner of Piatt County Girls Basketball. And the headline reads, Broncos rebound in Macon County Tournament for consolation title. The Cerro Gordo / B-Mint girls basketball team lost in the Macon County Tournament quarterfinals, but didn't let that hinder an opportunity for a consolation bracket victory. The 7th-seeded Broncos, 8-12 for the season, held 5th-seeded Warrensburg Latham scoreless in the third quarter while producing 15 points of their own, en route to a 32-30 win in the consolation championship game. It was a big swing and a low-scoring affair, and 8 different CGB athletes netted at least 2 points apiece, led by Riley Brandenburg, 7 points, and 6 points each from Gracie Copsey and Haley Garrett. Congratulations, girls. And finally for today, we have this article. The support group meetings plan. Faith in Action of Piatt County announces the following support group meetings. January 28th, 1 p.m., Stroke Support Group in the Maple Point Supportive Living Education Room in Monticello. Also on January 28th at 1 p.m., Caregiver Support Group in the Maple Point Private Dining Room. On February 2nd from 2 to 4 p.m., Grief Share Support Group at Faith Lutheran Church, 1201 Bear Lane in Monticello. And on February 4th at 1:30 p.m., a Low Vision Support Group in the Private Dining Room at Tapman Village in Monticello. Those who have vision issues, have had a stroke, or give care for a loved one are encouraged to take part. This has been the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, January 15th, 2020. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.